Love is an essential part of life. And the Apostle Paul even makes the point in today's scripture passage that love is more important than faith. But what is this whole love thing about? Now today I'd like us to take a close look at the Christian understanding of love and how it's grounded in God's love for us. Beginning with God is the natural place to begin this conversation. We know that it was out of love that God created the heavens and the earth and every living creature, including you and me. And the Bible tells us that God is love. And since we're made in God's image, we're made to love. And I certainly believe Paul had this understanding of God in mind when he wrote his letter to the Corinthians. But I do need to make one disclaimer about our scripture passage. Paul didn't write these words for weddings. Now, some people may have a hard time believing that because this passage is a favorite among newlyweds. Plus, these words give us a warm, fuzzy feeling. And some people may even quote these verses on their Valentine cards. But Paul wasn't writing about romantic love. Now, I do need to say a word, too, about how our society uses the word love. And I think our world has really turned the word love into a meaningless word. We certainly use the word love to talk about romantic relationships. When two people experience an intense affection for each other, we say they're in love. But we also use the word love when we're talking about our favorite sports, hobbies, and foods. We might even say to a friend, "I love your outfit." The word love has become an ambiguous, catch-all term that we use for all kinds of different things. But Paul's words on love are anything but vague. When he wrote these words to the Corinthians, he wanted to deepen their understanding of love and to give them specific ways that they could practice love with each other. And they needed a lot of help with this because they had problems. And boy, did they have problems. The Corinthians were acting like a bunch of narcissists instead of being the church of Jesus Christ. If you read the entire letter to the Corinthians, you'll come up with a long list of their issues. You'll see that they were a people divided, who kept throwing insults back and forth at each other. They were obsessed with celebrity teachers, and apparently they were more interested in getting a good soundbite than they were in practicing what they were learning. They also seemed to have a relaxed view of sexual ethics. They were slapping each other with lawsuits. And the wealthier members in the community were eating up all the food at church dinners before their poorer friends could get there. Now, these Corinthians had problems, and they were missing out on true Christian community. That's why Paul wrote them an important letter about love. And he wanted them to see how love should shape the way they live. Of course, the kind of love that Paul talks about isn't an ambiguous idea. Rather, Paul had a very clear understanding. Now, we should keep in mind that in the Greco-Roman world that Paul lived in, people used several different words for love, and each one communicated something specific. One of those words is philia, which was used to describe the kind of love friends share with each other. Storge was another Greek word used for love, and that described the kind of parental love that parents share with their children. Another Greek word for love is eros, which is the kind of romantic love that two people would share with one another. But none of these Greek words was used by Paul in our passage. The word he used is the word agape. And agape is the kind of love that's less about warm, fuzzy feelings, and more about sacrificial, unconditional, self-giving love. Incidentally, this was not a common word in the first century, But the reason Paul used this word with the Corinthians was to help them realize that the love of God, and thus the love that should be in their lives, is more an act of the will than a feeling of the heart. In other words, Paul was telling them that they can practice love even when they might not feel like loving other people. Stanley Hauerwas, before he retired, taught theology at Duke Divinity School. And he once wrote something that was quite memorable for me. It was quite interesting about marriage. And he said that the most basic law of marriage is that you always marry the wrong person. And he said that because at some point in every marriage, the person you thought was Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright turns out to not be Mrs. Wright or Mr. Wright. But then he said, the adventure of marriage is learning to love the person to whom you're married. Marriage, if we're willing to learn from it, teaches us how to practice love. It teaches us to love even when we might not like the other person. That's a lesson that applies to all kinds of relationships, and it's a lesson that Paul wanted the Corinthians to put into practice with each other. Now, I mentioned earlier that there were a number of problems in the Corinthian church, but there was also a lot of good in that church. Paul noted in chapter 12 that this church was quite gifted. But then he says in verse 31, "Strive for the greatest gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." And Paul described this more excellent way in chapter 13. So let's try to put all that into context now. The Corinthians thought they were hot stuff. They knew they were gifted and talented. And Paul agreed. But he was aware of their problems. And he told them that their gifts won't amount to anything if they lack love, if they lack agape love. Now, they might have the greatest ideas, but if they don't have love, those ideas will sound like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. They might have the key that unlocks the mysteries of the universe, but if they don't have love, they're just holding a key. They may even decide to give away everything they have, but if they don't have love, it won't gain them anything. Now, they were a gifted church, and yet without love, they won't amount to much. But if they live with love, everything will change. Instead of being at each other's throats, love will make them patient with one another. It will move them to look outward beyond themselves so that they can see the needs of others without becoming angry or resentful. Love will help them turn away from the evil influences that can creep into their lives. Love will equip them to live the truth of the gospel. Love will enable them to bear all things and endure all things. And the really good news is that love will never end. It never fails. Now, love transforms people. It can even transform entire communities. People can have the greatest gifts and they can have the greatest talents, but they'll still be incomplete without love. And that's why Paul says that everything pales in comparison to love, including prophecies and knowledge, even faith and hope. Without love, these things will be incomplete. And the absence of love makes people act like a bunch of kids, spoiled kids. But with love, people grow and mature. Faith and hope are needed, but they're not as vital as love. Now, if you go on in the letter, in chapter 14, the very first verse, Paul urges the church to pursue love. Now, the reality of love is that it is more an act of the will than a feeling of the heart. Love is something that we have to choose daily. It's something we need to pray over, study, practice. and use every day for it to be effective. It's designed to be shared freely with others, and when it is, our whole community better reflects the presence of Jesus Christ. So where do we get this love from? Well, put simply, it's made available to us by God's Holy Spirit. It's up to us to receive it and to use it. And this takes practice, and it takes a recognition that we can love because Christ first shared it with us through his sacrificial life and death. As 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Now, God loves us like no one else. And when we realize how much we are loved, we're more likely to love others in the way that Jesus did. And that was a message the Corinthians needed to hear because of their history of wrangling with each other. They were a church torn up with conflict and division. And even the city of Corinth was ripe for conflict. People from all of the world gathered in that place to trade their goods and to promote their own viewpoints. Disagreements were bound to happen in that kind of environment because people would not see eye to eye on everything. Life was messy for these Corinthians, and it was obviously easy for them to act in unloving ways. Paul's words to them about agape love was desperately needed. And his words about love are no less important for us, given all the conflict that we see happening in our country and around the world. We don't have to look far to see people treating each other poorly. And it's for this reason that I think we need to be people whose primary pursuit is love. Now, I return to the question that I asked at the beginning. What's this love thing about? I think Paul would say it's about being patient. It's about being kind. It's about not being envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. As Paul says, love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And that's exactly how God loves us. Now, Paul has taught us that love is the most excellent way. And it's the most excellent way because it's the way of God. There are no limits to love because it never fails. And when we live with love, people will notice because it's the one thing that shows the world that God's love lives in us. So let's strive to live the most excellent way of love. After all, it is the way of God. And when we live with love, everything will change. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus who showed us what love looks like. And today we pray that we will make the commitment to practice the love you've given us. May we take steps this week to share your love with our family, our friends, our coworkers, and everyone else who comes into our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.